Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down, sit down, sit down. You know, have you observed that those words, they are more about, they are about you, they are about you. It's not really about, keep playing, don't worry. It's not really about God wants to do something out there. He's going to do something through you, in you. Amen. Some of us, we just think ourselves as too big. You don't pray for yourself again. You must be telling yourself, my brain, you submit to the word. My mind, listen to God's word. At times, we are just thinking that, yes, who needs prayer is, yes. There will be healings all through the land. Do you know that is so easy for God? What is God looking for? Huh? Who could God best work on? When we pray, who receives answers to prayer? Even if you pray for a mission somewhere, how will the answers come at the first assembly? Huh? Something will come to you. That means all God wants to work on now, leads you know, to do that work is who? Is this person? It's you. It's you. It's you. That's who God wants to work on. As we pray for revival, the answer comes to us. It will come to you in zeal. It will come to you in fervency. It will come to you in commitment. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? Because it is you that will take that will of God to where you are talking about. It's not that as we pray, God will just be turning the heart of some people in Lake Chad. No. God works on the man that is submitted already to God. You are the one that you have willingly laid down that, I submit to his will. So you are the one that will receive the answer to that prayer. Which and the word will now benefit where? In you, through you. Is that clear? So don't see yourself as too big to pray for. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for your mind. You will shout your name. Shout your name. Talk when you are not rebellious to the will of God. Talk when you are not stubborn to consider the authority. You are not proud in your own eyes. You are not carried away by the love of money. You will talk to yourself. You will speak to yourself in prayer. That I acknowledge every good thing in me, in Christ.
God will do wonders. He will work, but he walk on you. Yeah. God will save the world, but he will walk on you. God will do great and mighty, but he will walk where? On you, in you. My desire, my task is wherever we are, next 10 years, next 20 years, let me call you and observe that you are seeing the will of God. Yeah. 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 Anna star. It's so easy. Say, I'm traveling for my masters. Everybody approves. I'm traveling for the gospel. Say, what? They will say, have you been given color? Where? And listen, there is a deliberate call on God on discipleship. Deliberate. And unfortunately for us, discipleship is only practicable in a church. Unfortunately. The meaning of that is because, which series did we do that comparison that we saw that actually the word disciples in the book of Acts can be successfully replaced by church? Remember? Cause of that series, what? Should be series 2. Yeah. That everywhere disciples was used in the book of Acts, it could be replaced with. So, you don't use the dictionary definition of disciples. No. You don't use the words. No. You use Bible. Bible defines discipleship as church. Church, church. It doesn't matter if you are not meeting on Sunday morning. Church, church. But that would mean these are people that at the end of the day, you have the greatest influence over their life. You can lead them into ministry. You can moderate them. You can see them. You can account for them. You know, it's a big word. When God said we shall account for the life of people. You know, you cannot do that. You know, hope you know you cannot account for people on Facebook. Hope you cannot account for your followers on Facebook. Do you know? Huh? Ah, you cannot. Too. Well, they are liking your post. Do you know what they are doing? You know where they are? You know, the world progress and they are, it's using one out of fried plantain. You know, you don't know. Praise God. So that is why it must be offline. Maybe you can see. Funny enough, the age cannot change that wisdom of God. It cannot change it. The age, technology, everything. It cannot change it. The benefit of you sitting down like this and say, Pastor Ezekiel, do this. Don't do this. He said, Stephen, I observe you here. This is where you should be. Hallelujah. We can never outgrow that. Somebody mischievously said, the word is everywhere. We can grow on Facebook. You can see it in your life. So that means, see what where I was coming from? There's a deliberate call of God on discipleship. Meaning it's okay. That means you are called to lead others. That will be the eventual destination of all you are learning here, of all you are doing here. So stop being childish. Stop being unnecessarily emotional. Stop being unnecessarily jittery. Stop being unnecessarily petty. Petty! Petty! Believer! They will talk to you in church. You become petty. What is the other synonym for petty? Become picky. Become selective. Who do you think came here for himself? Came here to obey God. Amen, amen. Came here to obey God. Is that clear, brethren? In every land, in every heart, Jesus, I can see him. I can see him. Exalted
in every heart, in every land,
I can feel,
I believe it.
I receive it.
Christ be exalted
I can see him, I can see it
in the Spirit. Christ is exalted in every heart, in every land.
I believe it, I receive. So when you say I believe it, how will you receive it? You can give me any word that is in my heart. Feel free. How will you receive it? Huh? Making disciples, yes, I need another word. Obedience, I need another word. Huh? Learning, yes. Come on, feel free, guys. Submitting to discipleship. I just need the word that is in my heart, funny enough. So strong chance, yes, make yourself available. Something else? Taking on responsibilities. Accountability. As a word you just in my heart. Sorry, funny enough. Eh? Practical. Ah, almost there. Man of God is almost there. Eh? Act on it. Act. Somebody finish that word act. You receive it in your what? In your actions. Awesome. Your actions. When I believe it, where will I receive it from? In my actions. So ask yourself, does my actions look like the actions of somebody that want to see the whole world reached for Christ? That is where to receive it. Are you getting this, guys? No, it's because at times we just pray, expecting God to just throw a bomb of salvation in a country. It be, no. You know, at times when I see how Christians behave on social media, I know that they are not receiving anything. A small virus came out and you just see people unnecessarily picky, jetty. The world is about to end. It's because you don't believe the ghost. That's why you'll be saying such things. That's why we are thinking of virus, but calm down. We have message to preach. They have no future, no future, no Christ ambition. See, you know, in church we have NFA. This one will be no NCA, no Christ ambition. No Christ ambition. Some people, something that has not reached Nigeria, you have been looking for, this one is expensive. See, unnecessary! Be picky. That's what happens to you when your mind is far from God's word. Your mind is far from your reality. Your mind is far from God's will, God's mind, God's plan. Some people will be in your own place, in the name of Jesus. Let us go down. I have a work to do. You know, we have to say, yes, something has covered the whole world. You know how many believers are in the world? Keep quiet. Media, you know your people now? Media. They hype anything. They hype anything. They expect, they will make it a what? Make it a big mountain. They wipe it. Of course, I'm not saying it's a good story, like that, but hey, you have a bigger reality. I heard that in one of the stories I heard of Titanic, they say when the sea ship was sinking and people are still floating on the surface, the body died. So we still have a man that was still going up and down to everybody. Say, have you believed in Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you believed in Jesus? Somebody that knows that he's about to die. He was still swimming from one person to another. See, a guy now say, I don't want your Jesus. And I say, you take my clothes. I say, you need this clothes more than me. The guy died. I think the one he gave the clothes, that one lived. That one too great to become an evangelist. Media, it will finish your faith, give you unnecessary focus, make you jet picky when you should be prayerful, make you an unnecessary spectator when you should be the actor. Bring me light. Hallelujah. So again, when you believe it, you will receive this in your actions. You know, in the past, we don't joke with our words, right? We sing what we mean. We mean what we sing, right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And to be done. Say amen. Thank you, sir. Give me a word. John chapter 6. Thank you, sir. I have some awesome loved ones writing stuff today. So, just looking at how the service should go. John 6:26, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto what? Everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him at God the Father sealed. Amen, amen. Now, see what is the word that began 27? Labor. Say labor. So he said, don't labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So my attitude towards the world must be labor. It must be that of labor. Okay? Labor. That must be my labor. My attitude towards the world must be labor. It must be laborious. So it is normal for you to spend 12 hours in a day looking at God's word. That's labor. Guys, yeah, that's labor. Labor. Say labor. Yeah. And the labor must be to see Jesus. To see Jesus in the written word. To see Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Who he is to God. Who he is as God. Who he is to me. What he did to save. What is doing me right now? But before this month end, we can have two churches. It's very easy. The work is simple. So I said, who is to God? Who is as God? Who is to me? What he did to save? what the salvation is and what he is doing in me right now. That is your labor. That is what you labor to see. When he said in Genesis chapter 2 that man was called to till the ground, he's talking about laboring God's word, to labor to see this reality. To till, to labor. This is the primary call of God, to labor to see this. To labor to see this. To labor to discover this. That energy, that your melter brain that is so hyper-valuting that instead of it thinking every day, but everybody that posted him today, that talking today, which of them is really interested, that is not what your mind is about. Your mind is to focus on labor. Labor. Say labor. Yeah, on God's word. That's what you need, that mind to meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, meditate on these things. That is also in Timothy. Meditate on it day and night. Labor. Mind. It starts from the mind. Then attitude. Actions. Philemon 1:4-6. Philemon 1:4-6. I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So things in Christ are spiritual. Things in Christ are spiritual, and that is what the Bible is about. Things in Christ, they are things spiritual, and that's what the Bible is about. That's what the Bible is about. Things in Christ, they are spiritual, and that's what the Bible is about. Again, this, what is man? This should be part 5, right? Yeah. So, we have many... Okay, let me wait for you. You have to write this phrase down and just exactly like that, the way I said it, please. Things in Christ, they are things spiritual. We have examined Ephesians 1, right? Ephesians 1 from verse 1 to 13 some days ago. We saw that everything, all the blessings therein, they are not things that say they are spiritual, but I will convert to the physical. Those are mischievous people. They are spiritual, redemption, forgiveness, sanctification, adoption of sons, the giving of the Spirit. They are all spiritual because they are things that we receive when we receive the what? The Spirit, okay? They are not spiritual because they are mystical. No, that's not primarily. They are because they are things that a man receives when he receives the Holy Ghost. Is that clear, guys? So why do you call it spiritual things? Because they are what? Spiritually designed, spiritually received, okay? We receive them when we receive what? The Spirit. Simple. That's clear. Not because they are mystical. Not because they are naturally unseen. No, that is not the meaning of. Spiritual does not always mean invisible. Spiritual does not always mean what? Invisible. Is that clear? Don't compare the two. One is in this. One spiritual, we rate spiritual in the realm of God. We rate visible and invisible in the realm of man. Something like that. So, now we have many things important to man which are not contained in the Bible, which are not explained in the Bible, which are not tutored in the Bible. Many things that are important to man, which are not tutored, not explained, not documented in the Bible. Not documented in the Bible. Many things. For instance, who can give me an example? Something that you know is very important to man, yet the Bible did not teach you how to go about it. Feel free, guys, feel free. Feel free, come on. That the Bible did not explain, the Bible did not tell you how. You should be able to disarm my sermon. You should do that before, when you are spiritual. Not again. Yes? I'll see. How to make money. That's very important to all man. Yeah? Eating. Well, we have Esau in the Bible. Yes? Oxygen. Sir? You're almost there. You're almost there. You know what I wrote in my notes? Shed bats. You got it? She got it, but she's not serious, so she couldn't say it out. She's not bold in Christ. Shed the bat. Okay, where is it written in the Bible that this is how to do it? Hello? Is it written? That's just my example. I know we have a lot, okay? I'm just saying that is my own example. So, no clue, but guess what? Even before the Bible was documented, women has been put into bed successfully, right? Yes or no? Yes, now, of course. So, the Bible, again, is the story of man's redemption. as E.W. Kenyon. It's a story, a documentation of man's redemption. Man's redemption. The Bible is not a manual for every aspect of life. Write that down. The Bible is not a manual for every aspect of life. It's not. It's not a manual that describes every aspect of life. But although the knowledge of Christ has learned will moderate every aspect of our life. That was the point. The knowledge of Christ has learned, it will moderate every aspect of our life. But don't see the Bible as a manual for every part of life. No. But that knowledge of Christ has learned, it will moderate every aspect of your life. Okay? It's just like in a company, you have engineering, technical, these people, just different sectors in the company, finance, you have different teaching, which one again? Security, admin. But you have a sector called HR. HR will interface with how many? All, right? HR is the one that will rate you, that will tell you if you are doing well, if you are not doing well, they will reward you, right? Just something like that. So that means the knowledge in the Bible, okay, it will moderate everything. But it's not that the knowledge of the Bible will teach you how to be expert in everything. Oh, or how does the Bible teach me how to play bass guitar? Is it there? Do Remy Pastor? Like I said, in the book of Psalms, we are told we have different songs. But who wrote the Tony Sofa? Who wrote the, what do you call it? Notes. It's not there. We don't know that. If that's Psalm 20, you don't know if it is fast or slow. We enter his gate. You don't know how David sang it? You know if he said, we enter. You don't know how he sang it now? Amen. So that's what I'm just saying. My faith influences my career. My faith influences my life career, but it's not in the word, W-O-R-D, that I will get what to do. It's not in the Bible. Somebody say, okay, you want to get your career, open the Bible. Just open a place. Just close the Bible. Open anyone, anything you see. That is your life career. And you just open. Bah! And what do you see? you see, what is the name of this? Advisor of Absalom. No, God, speak again. You close it again. He has to open. What do you see? Bah! No, just open it. I saw Jesus. Now you have to what? You die. So. So, again, to go to the Bible in search for prosperity scripture is grossly absurd. It's just absurd. To go to the Bible in search for prosperity scripture is absurd. It's bad. It's not the plan. It's not the purpose. It's not the... It's absurd. Chapter 3, verse 15, and that from 2 Timothy 3, 15, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scripture. That's labor already. 2 Timothy 3, 15, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's labor already, okay? Reproof, doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness. It's a labor that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that would be some labor again. Some labor. Again, go back to that. John 6, 27. Sorry, I'm fast. John 6, 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So it's not saying, get to your place of work, cross your leg and refuse to work. No, that's not what he's saying. It's not saying your only labor should be for Christ. No, he's rather saying what you seek God for, okay? When you come to Jesus, when Jesus comes to you, when you appear before him, what you seek him for is not for things that perish. Is that clear, guys? Is that clear? That's not what you labor for. That's not what you come to church for. To primarily come to church because I want to meet my needs. I want to do well in life, in quotes, in the realm of doing well in life. To primarily come to church for such purpose is idolatry. The church is a place where you come to learn the will of God. There is something that is called the will of God. The will of God. That is what we come to learn in church. Not we come to church to learn how to meet our needs, how to make the world work for us. That is not the purpose of the world. John 5:39.
Well done. That's why preachers in preachers' portfolio have to get to that in 2 Samuel. That hey, you don't allow anybody to cage you to be supplying what they think they need, to be supplying anybody cage you into a relationship coach or which one again, career mentor or Grace. Which one are you before again? I've forgotten. Life coach. You don't allow anybody to cage you into all those things. You give people what God gave you. Write that down. I must serve people with what God gave me. God did not give you relationship coach. God did not give you emotional intelligence. It's not God that gave you other things. It's your hyper-faluting emotional brain that's teaching you emotional intelligence. That's not what God gave you. God gave you the word. He gave you the word of Christ. And that's what you labor to give to all that's John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life. So meaning, even eternal life, as important as it is, that is not what we search the Bible for. That is not what we go to the word for. Are you with me, brethren? Yeah, that's not what we, as important as eternal life is, that is yet not what we go to the word of God for. That is not what we seek God for. We don't seek him for things that can perish. We don't seek him for things that has expiry date. We seek him for things eternal. That's why you can see that all those deep search of heavenly rays, I know go tire. It makes Christian irresponsible. Instead of to search out for your duty, your responsibility in Christ, you are bothering yourself, you are concerned, you are bothered about a race to heaven, a race that nobody gave you. The focus of man is who? Is the Son. Amen, amen. The focus of man is the Son. Is the Son, Jesus Christ. Heaven is what you find in the Son, not what you chase after in itself. Write it down like that. That means it's not that I just sit down and say, I will ask myself, how do I make heaven? Wrong question. Wrong focus. Wrong study. Wrong meditation. Wrong. What else? Wrong knowledge. Wrong pursuit. When I open the scripture, I want to see Jesus. In Christ, you will find eternal life. In Christ, you will find salvation. In Christ, you will find redemption. In Christ, you will find forgiveness of sin. These are not concepts that they are in themselves. They are all things we are in Christ. Is that clear, brethren? Thank you. So, again, looking at the Old Testament, I said we see two things. Remember, I told you on I said you see two things primarily. Remember? Firstly, you see faith in Christ, right? Yeah. Faith in Christ. Then proper Christian conduct based on faith in Christ. Please write it down like that. When I look at the Old Testament, number one, I will find faith in Christ. Secondly, I will find proper Christian conduct based on what? Faith in Christ. Not proper Christian conduct based on itself. Right now, I saw a man that is smoking weed. It's not my duty to go to him to say, Mr. Man, stop smoking your weed. My first primary duty is to get him saved. Now, after getting him saved, we now go and look for him and unwood in scripture to unwood the weed in his mouth. Is that clear? Is that clear, guys? So we are, at times, we are just so petty in evangelism. Ah! You doing this! If you don't repent, no more kingdom. No. When you look at the Bible, Egypt, for instance, if you'll be talking about Esau's primary issue is not overeating. That is not what you go there to preach. You first preach unbelief. And his own tool of unbelief is what? Is produce. Latin, right? Awesome. It's two.
Okay, Luke 24. Now, and brethren, please, when we are saying all this, when we are saying what we go to look for, something I have explained to you now, which let me now make it clear today. When I'm saying we don't go to the Bible for sowing and reaping, when I'm saying we don't look at the Bible for money, when I'm saying we don't look at the Bible for how to double your finances, how to get the best, I am not talking about what works. Write that down. We are not talking about what works. That means what's, you know, like, oh God, which Yoruba can, oh, you help me with the Yoruba there. What works? Like what's, you get me? We are not talking about what works, but what is commanded. Simple. We are talking about what is written. What worked is what destroyed the children of Israel in the wilderness. You remember? We saw that on Tuesday, right? This was on Monday. What worked was what destroyed the children of Israel. So, testimony time is not a validation of God's will. It's not a validation of God's will. But when the message is out, please guess that one, verse 4 and 5. We really dealt with that, and we saw that you can receive your answer to prayer, and that answer to prayer becomes the stumbling block why you will never know God. I dropped 20,000 for church projects. God gave me 200K. Therefore, I am forming a ministry on seed sowing what? Enterprises. You see, your life is gone, right? That's the issue. Your testimony is your what? Is the reason you will not know God. So when we look at the Bible, we don't go there looking for what works. We don't go there looking for, okay, or if you say, but sir, this is not what that is. You say, but no, I've tried it. I've heard people tell you things like that. I've tried this. It works for me. Like a man, which I eventually had to stop acting when media was against him. A man that could come to the pulpit to say, if God comes down from above to tell me that seed sowing does not work, I will tell him it works. The man is also, you are in a cage of your own, because God or himself already told you in the word that it works. Sailor. You didn't get that. What you are trying to say, the word already tells that don't worry, it's not about if it works. It can work, but you will fail. That's the word already told you. And it's not about if it happens. No, the word already told you that if you seek God for things, you will get it. Or you may get it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Very clear. Very clear. Those are ways that seem right to men. Okay, so Luke 24. I said, we don't seek God for what works, or we don't look at the Bible for what works, but for what is written, okay? What is commanded? 24 verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47. Want to go? And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when I open the Bible, what do I use it to do? To preach repentance and remission of sins. If you read two verses before, it says, these are the words which I spoke unto you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the book, in the prophets, in the law, in Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That means we look at the Bible for that details of his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's stupid for you to say, I am called to raise kingdom billionaires. It's stupid. Say, I call it stupid. Yeah, it's stupid. Stupid. To say, I am called to raise billionaires for Christ. Why is it not included in the gift of the Spirit? And for to one is given what? Word of what? Money doubling. To another is given. Captains of industry. Whether the guy is achieving it either through entrepreneurial scheme or through laying of hands, doesn't matter. Are you getting me? Listen, that's the tricky part. Hope you know, I teach you that for you to, that you go outside, you walk, right? Huh? And that's the property that Bible teaches. But for me to now come to church, to now bring that scheme, okay, to what? To the pulpit, is joblessness, dishonor for Christ, and irreverence for the scripture, irreverence for the plan of God, abuse of pulpit. Write down everything. Amen, amen. It's an abuse of pulpit. When you go out there, you go and look for how to make your life work. Of course, I will teach you how to do it. To do it honestly, right? Right. You don't learn trigonometric in church. You don't learn how to fry plantain here. You don't learn. We don't learn. Okay, how can I come to church now? My teacher, guys, today our topic will be how to perform operation. Come on, bring me a rat. I'll bring a rat to the pulpit. Okay, guys, look at it. Oh, you must not cut here. It must not die. If he dies, he will die. He will die. So what? Same thing when people come to church to teach you how to be making soap. We have to learn that in church. Church soap making. That is a very common trade. I have to make soap. One day you see come out to make. So, no, don't do that. So either via entrepreneurship or seed sowing scheme, that is not the plan purpose of the church. That is not our duty. Whether it not via motivational talks, it's not your duty. Just tell saints, I will get there. So to do what is proper, go and work honestly. Come here and learn of God. So the preacher must not be competing with the teacher in your school. I cannot compete with your lecturer. Your lecturer teaches you how to, or whatever you call it, your mentor, this entrepreneurship, since your, what they call it? Master, your boss, is it better what they call it now? Divine, what do you call it now? If somebody calls you to, if you are learning a trade under somebody, apprentice, awesome. Hey, your apprentice teaches you, this is where to go to a lab bar. This is how to get the electronics. This is how to sell. I cannot compete with that. I'm not thinking, that's a kingdom way of getting things done. Now start opening, abusing scripture. You open some, even Pharaoh in hell, you say, at time when you quote some scripture, even Pharaoh, we say, Abba, why? By the time Pharaoh is judging you, you know you are judged. Jesus is even tired. Even Satan will say, Morogo, the demon, come and see. We are not this wise, Baba. That demons, they hang on such churches. Yeah? Oh, God. If I tell you the story of American money, you'll be dead. Let me just leave those things to myself. You think everything is angels? Sela. Just Sela dance in your mind. You know, everything is not angels. What else? So you say, yes. I open my shoe and money appear. I was in the video of one man that was somebody's passport was in his shoe. So take the shoe. Your passport is coming. I can see. Amen. So, of course, so you have a particular portfolio, okay? Because the word is specific to its aim. The word is specific in its aim. Therefore, the preacher is specific in his duty. So, we don't have a Bible that is focused on how God blesses man materially. I'll just do a brief overview of Genesis for you today, and we'll end this first sermon. So, we don't have a Bible that is focused on how God blesses man materially. We don't have such Bible. And also, neither do we have a Bible that taught a God that only cares for his man only after he has sowed a seed or given something. Sorry, I say we don't have a Bible that is based on how God blesses man materially, that is focused on how God blesses man materially. He has done that one already in the creation of the earth. He has done that one already in creation, in the design. He has taught you, he has given you all you need to to take care of yourself. And also, we don't also have a God that intervenes in the affairs of men only after he has been given a seed. The way we talk about God is like God is seed crazy. He's seed crazy. Drop the seed now. Sometimes we say that, but if they don't drop it, the church will not move forward. Who defines moving forward for the church? Because you are competing with Stanford Bridge, Abby. Abby, which other big thing is there? You are competing with Wembley Stadium. You're competing with people that you can never meet. That you can never meet. Never. No, I mean, I know what is involved. You that you can never meet. You see one, just tiny. This one is 20 million. Just a tiny process like that. And now raising. For instance, if there's no money and there's no money to earn gen, you sit down, you learn God's word. Open the window. You learn. It's not that you are not serving God because it's cozy. You go to a place and you have to do church under the tree. You do it with joy. That's why we are doing this. What is man? Man, you are not defined by cozy things. The word defines you. So if it is there, awesome, we rejoice. Can we have a church in Nazareth? Of course. But what must happen there? They will pray. They what? They will study. They write exam. They will do PR notes. They will go and preach. They will preach. You do VG. Simple. That's it. Can I have church in a cold test and of course. Just when I'm praying, you can't say I'm disturbing you. Right? Yeah. You can. Can I have a church by the beach? No problem. But you must pray that you sweat. Though you're by the beach. Praise God. Say, I'm a preacher. I know my portfolio. Awesome. So again, two things I've said just now. The Bible is not focused on how God blesses man materially. Also, the Bible did not teach a God that only care for man, only after man has sowed a seed or dropped something. Genesis 1:1. So at times you just see, like we are seeing right now, the Bible is given unto us. That documentation is for man's redemption. So at times, even when you see the story in the Bible that God supplied a need, something miraculous happened, look at it. There is a reason why that was done. That reason is the focus on the Bible. That means, like he said, he has made his acts known to the children of Israel, his ways known to Moses, right? So that means the Bible is focused on those ways. We must not be focused on the acts, the action, what we can see, the overview, but the way, the reason, the intention, the intent, the purpose, why what was done. That is the focus of the word. Are you trying to get me? So Genesis 1:1. Let's just see a few scriptures. Just rush. Just let me know when you are ready. Just run to them and that's on Genesis 1:1. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So who sowed seed for God before he did this? Who sowed seed? Father Ezekiel, you sowed a seed? Huh? No, who knows? You might be available for the foundation of the earth. Sowing a seed for God to create heaven. Okay, and the word earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So from that literal account, we saw God finished everything before bringing man in, okay? No seed, nothing, okay? God finished everything. From that literal account, we saw God finish the whole work before. Ensure you look at your Bible. Madam, look at your Bible. So we saw God finish everything before bringing man into the show. See verse 26. No seed, nothing. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And verse 28, if you are there, read for me. Yes. And God what? Blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply. It is. Who sowed seed for God to do this? Now, let me say something here. The blessing is not just in what is said. No, the blessing is not just in what he said, but what he did before saying what he said. The blessing is not in what he said, but what he did before saying what he said. That means if God said, I am blessing you, or I have blessed you, quickly look at what he has done before that time. So when he's saying, I am giving you dominion, I'm giving you everything, the blessing is in the actual blessing predates the announcement. That means before God says anything, he has done something. Exactly, guys. Before he says, he has what? He has done. See, he has done. So again, man has not done anything there. No seed, no condition. God will bless his man without condition. So that eliminated every seed sowing to get from God. From first principle, we saw a God that gave us an abundant heart without request, without anybody saying anything. So, and glory to God, he gave us both a fruitful heart and a brain to relate with the heart for us to enjoy. Write that down. He gave you not only a fruitful heart, also a brain. You can sit down right now and just make cool plans and you'll be rich. A brain to relate with the art for us to enjoy, with the things of the art. A brain. People that did all this chemistry, hypothesis, the experiment that discovered all the compounds, all everything we have today. It's awesome. Crystal, piezoelectric, and crystals, everything. It's awesome. It's just brain. Just a man just reasoning to what God has created. And through that, people are able to make wealth, make good times, and people, who discovered electricity again? Is it Faraday? So, awesome. So, see Genesis 2:15. And God said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to what? To dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not what? Eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Die, of course, you know that is 100% figurative, right? 100% figurative. One funny, not just funny, you have said that knowledge of good and evil is what? Is tight. See, that is tight. The thing broke my heart the day I had. My heart was, the thing broke. See, that is tight. See, eh? See, this is tight. See, God said, I give you everything, but you must give me my tight. So therefore, men fell into sin because we didn't know what? You know what? Did not pay tight. Tight. If you want money, just say, church, please, I'm hungry. Why do you say such a thing? Tight. How do you think Jesus will feel in them when you're there? More, something like that. What's that? No. Because the question is, who collects this for God? But he comes down in the cool of the day to collect his tithes. God is coming in the cool of every day. So what will we do? What will we do with the tithes? Somebody say, to buy something. Somebody say, just for man to prove he trusts God. No, you don't prove a point to God. Don't prove a point to God. Hallelujah. You don't prove a point to God. Some people think that, okay, yes, at least you must keep paying to show that we trust God. You don't prove a point to him. Even salvation is not proving a point to God. Salvation is because of the intended destination. Why salvation is about believing. It's not so that you can prove a point to God or show God that you love him. No. He desires you to be saved because not for you to show anything. It's for you to become his son. It's because of the destination. You get that? Okay, let me say it again. He desires men to be saved, not for man to prove a point to him, but for man to become what? His son. Say, I'm God's son. So it's because of who he wants to make you. That is the reason behind what? Believing. Not just to show that, I'm a God truster. No, you are a son of God. You are not just a God truster. You are a son of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Yeah, that's the reason behind salvation. And son of God, not just for you to show something, to brag. You don't brag before us, before Creator. So Genesis 2:18, and you just keep seeing this progressively from the literal account. And the Lord, 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Again, from that literal account, God provided without man doing anything. From that literal account, God provided without man doing anything. Genesis 3 verse 12. Feel free. I'm just going through this Genesis. I'll just get to like chapter 21 or so. Okay, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So you can see that man even sinned in the provision of God. His man used that provision of God to sin. Man used the provision of God to sin. Genesis 4 verse 1. That is 3:12. Now 4 verse 1. Genesis 4 verse 1. Are you there? Okay. This is one that we just spent like 4 minutes on. Let's read from verse 1 to 4. Let me know when you're ready. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Yes? Yes. Yes, and Abel, he also brought of the father of, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Amen, amen. So, well, again, we have explained this before. So what happened here was that the sons were using what was created to know God. Please write that down, you understand as you write. The sons, they were using what was created to what? To know God. They were trying to use what was created to know God. And God pointed to Abel's offering as the best description. Simple. The sons were using both the two offerings that Cain and Abel brought, they are all from the earth, right? Both animal and everything. So some people say, well, Cain brought very bad fruit. You didn't see that in the Bible. It's not there. Don't stop lying. Bible is clear. Read it. Bible never said Cain brought bad fruit. Bible says Cain brought rotting fruit, rotting tomato. When we are doing harvest in our church, he does this. Say, so if you bring what? Bad cucumber. Bad that God without. No. That's not what Cain brought. Cain just brought. So, funny enough, let me say, I won't have said luckily, but well, it's fate. Abel's offering was just the best description. At the fire assembly, what should Cain simply have done? Copy and paste. Simple. Cain should say, so this one is the one that best describes the sacrifice. Because see Cain's offering. See Abel's offering. He brought the firstling, read that offering. How does he describe it? First, of his flock, right? Yeah, first. That's the key thing. First. Same way Christ is the first begotten from the dead, right? Yeah. So that best describes the Savior. That best describes what the Savior will come and do. And God simply said, oh, awesome, this one best describe my sacrifice. So, Mr. Cain, what should you have done? Throw down your cucumber, rush, go and get a what? A false thing to an open, simple, copy and paste. God never said, Cain, go away. Abel is my, and it's not a one sacrifice that is forever. It's not a one offering that after this one, you must not offer anyone again. No, that's not what he's saying. But, hey, oh, Abel, this is it. But the guy, instead of taking correction, what do you do? As in, I will be Akara. You just have swelling. And you know the end of the story. See Hebrews 11 verse 4. So that is about faith. It's not about material things. It's not about material things at all. Or did you read in the Bible that as Abel offered that into God and God sent down what about, what did God send down? Dollars? For what? To buy what? You have Amazon then? Hebrews 11 verse 4, look at your Bible. You are in church to look at your Bible. Genesis 11 verse 4, Hebrews 11 verse 4, come on. You are in church to look at your Bible. That's why you are here. It's not, nobody is proud in church. Nobody comes to church to listen to the preacher. You want to listen to yourself, you stay in your house. Of course, you are obedient children of God. So, come on, Hebrews 11 verse 4, want to go? By faith, Abel offered unto God a what? More excellent. Say more excellent. So that's the point, okay? More excellent. The same way, if you look at the word excellent in the book of Hebrews, same way you saw in Hebrews 1, it said the Son is more excellent than what? Angels, right? Is it saying angels are evil? No, but the Son is what? More excellent. So it's not that the angels are nobody, but the Son is more excellent. This one has God's approval. The same way you saw he compared Aaronic priesthood and Christ's priesthood. He keep using the word more excellent, better. The same thing he used there. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's simply more excellent because this one spoke about what God will do in man. And by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous and God testified of his gift. And by it, he being dead, yet what speaketh. Genesis 12. Genesis 12 now. So the offering of Cain and Abel is about faith, okay? It's not about faith. It's about knowledge. It's about epignosis. It's about knowing God. It's not about making money. It's not about doubling your finances. It's when you don't learn Bible, that's when people will bobo you, dupe you, and yes, you will not know God. You come back barren. I mean, mentally. Why should you go to God and you now go to church and you become worse? You go to church and become better. Now you take your Bible to church. You take it. You don't take it then. I just say, yes, the Bible says, givers never lack. And lackers never give. I'll be sorry. What will you say when you know the Bible? I just say it's from Proverbs 34, verse 34. So, you forget that Proverbs never passed chapter what? 31. Say, can I open? Don't worry, you don't have to open. Don't open. Just like the man of God that openly said, openly. He's caught Luke 9 or Luke 10 in the Bible then. He said, he was trying to justify his fire killing people ministry. He said, James and John. And they said, they told Jesus, Jesus, should we command fire to come down and consume those villages? And Jesus told them, he said, yes, good people, not only fire, add thunder. He said, that is why they are called sons of thunder. What was clearly written as a rebuke? What will happen if you just open your Bible and just say, what should you do? Carry yourself and your what? Unborn children and run away. Run. If I just suddenly come here right now and I say something, and you open the Bible and say, this is not true. Oh, you go. That's the point. Nobody is tying anybody down here. You cannot explain the Bible. Go. People should not stay under you. Explain. Church is not for manipulation. It's for explanation. Amen. Where are we, Jerry? Genesis what? 12 verse 1. Now the Lord God said unto Abraham, let's see Abraham's blessings again. I know a lot of you are. Abraham's blessings are yours. When you are done, you will receive Abraham's blessing in fullness. And have 4 wives and the rest. Let's see. Hope you are prepared for Abraham's blessings. Okay. Say, I receive. You cannot receive. Awesome. Okay. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. From thy kindred, from your father's house, unto the land that I will show you, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, right? And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Of course, now you know about integration and perversion. Of all these prophecies that you saw in 1 to 3, which one was expressly repeated in the New Testament? Do you people have an exam today? Which one, guys? Verse 3. In thee. And that thee is in who? In Christ. Right? In Christ shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, the blessings he was called to inherit are not physical. They are not physical. The blessings Abraham was called to inherit, they are not physical. Just keep looking. Oh, put your hand there. Check Hebrews 11 again. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Have to look at your Bible to get what I'm saying. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. You know, the church, we operate with the authority of God's word. So that's why we speak the way we speak. It's not because we hate anybody or because we are lording anybody. No. We say that God's word or nothing else. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Are you with me, brethren? By faith, Abraham, please see this, so please let's read together. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a what? So the land of promise, he dwelt there, is it as his destination or as a strange country? Did you get that? No, if the blessing he was called to inherit is physical, then immediately he got to Canaan, then he should see it as his what? Destination. But he sojourned the place as a what? String condemned. Oh, this is not where I'm going. See, keep reading. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. That means, like, intentionally, he didn't pull up a big structure intentionally. As a voice of his faith, and Jacob the ears with him, of the same promise. Let's read verse 10. Slowly, want to go, yes? For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is who?
It's God.
So, what was he looking for?
Christ.
What was Abraham looking for? Christ. Say Christ. So, he was not, that means, that is why, even after they got to Canaan, David spoke again today, if you hear his voice. To tell you that the land of Canaan was never their promised land. Christ Jesus is the promised land of man. He is the rest of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Come on, open your Bible. Hebrews 4 verse 1. We are going to read this one to your neighbor. Christ Jesus is the rest of man. Hebrews 4 verse 1. You read this one to your neighbor. You must not yet depend on your sin beside the church. Now. Abba. And when you are there, Hebrews 4. Verse 1. Let's read. Yes, one to go. Help me. Verse 2. Yes, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not what profit them, not being mixed with. Verse 3. One to go. For we which have believed do enter into. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that rest that was promised was not fulfilled in Canaan. It was fulfilled in Christ. In Christ. Let me not please stretch that. You know that already. Okay, so he was looking for Christ. Go back to Genesis 12 right now. Genesis 12. So everything along the way of Abraham was like a tool to know God. Okay? Everything along the way of Abraham was like a tool to know God. 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 What are physical things? Well, see verse 4. So Abraham departed. Genesis 12 verse 4. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years when he departed out of Haran. Well, this is my question. Do you suppose that a 75-year-old man will not have properties? Abraham's only failure was to have a child. That is his only failure. See verse 5. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their what? Come on now, help me now. I want to finish quickly too. And all their what? Substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So you can see that Abraham already had things before God called him. See, go to verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on towards the south. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass that when he was coming near into Egypt, he said unto his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman, fine girl to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass that when the Egyptians shall see me, they shall say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee that thou art my what? Sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall what? Live because of thee." Very bad, verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abraham was coming to Egypt, in fact, not only the Egyptian beard woman, they, wow, God made this one wonderfully and what? The fearful is F-E-A-R, not F-A-I-R. Go and read very well. that she was very fear. Next verse. Let's read verse 15. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to where? Pharaoh's house. Let's read what happened. Verse 16, yes. And he what? Entreated what? Abraham well for. And he had what? Sheep and oxen and he asses and what? Men servants and what? Maid servant and he and Abraham, blessings are yours. Hallelujah. So how did Abraham get his blessings? Just to tell you that to put Abraham's blessing as material is to insult the character of God. It's just to say a Yahoo boy is a man of God, something like that. Get what I'm saying, oh, to put Abraham's blessings as material. I am not saying there is no Abraham's blessing. We'll see it very soon. In fact, you have seen it already in Hebrews. But to put it as material is to insult the character of God. It's to insult God's character. So, see 13 verse 1. Let's read after that chapter. Let's now read 13 verse 1 and 2. Are you there? Want to go? And Abraham went up out of where? Egypt, and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Verse 2, 1, 2, go. And Abraham was what? Very rich in cattle, in silver, and he go. Now we know how that happened. Chapter 14. This is the story of when Lot was captured. And when Abraham heard that, verse 14, Genesis 14, 14 now. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. So those servants, where did he see them? From Egypt now. So he has been carrying servants since. So born in his own house, how many people? 318. And pursued them unto Dan. Of course, he divided against them. And verse 16, he brought back all the goods. So is that war, right? Is that war? In war, would that be bloodshed? Is that God's will? So when you are saying Abraham's blessings are yours, know what you are saying. Abraham's blessing is righteousness by faith, despite his works. See chapter 20. As if this man has learned, he has not learned. Chapter 20 verse 9. Same thing repeated. Since the same work. Let me even say, we only have, let me read first. 20 verse 9, then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, well, what hast thou done unto me at us? I just skipped you. The same thing happened again, okay? What have I offended thee that thou hast brought unto me and on my kingdom a great sin? Lest thou hast done this deed. And Abraham said unto Abraham, what swearest thou that thou hast done this thing? Abraham said, well, because I thought surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And indeed, she's my sister, but she's the daughter of my father. You know, those things. Like, God forgive. So God has forgiven me. But not my daughter of my mother. Imagine. And she became my wife. Okay? And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is my kindred's wish. No, blah, blah, blah. It's my brother. Which has come to say, it's my brother. Verse 14. Let's read 14 again. And Abimelech took what? Sheep and oxen and men servant and women servant and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. Amen, amen. And again, Abimelech said unto him, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleased thee. Let's read 20 verse 16 and 16. Want to go? And unto Israel he said, behold, I have given thy brother a what? You know, he said thy brother. No, that is sarcastic, right? He said, I give thy your brother that you are staying with. That's funny. A thousand what pieces of silver, behold, is to be a covering of their eyes. No, very, very wise man, right? And with all others, she was reproved. So that's not the truth, yeah? So most of the instances in the Old Testament, they must be examined in context, okay? Are you with me? They must be examined in context. So before you just say that, Abraham was very rich. Why? Because God blessed him. Relax. Read it. So the Abraham's blessing that we covet was that faith. His faith, his faith. If you read Genesis 20, you see his faith. If you read Romans 4, you see his faith. Everywhere in the scripture, what Abraham was celebrated for was his, was not his wealth, was what? Say faith. Exodus chapter 12. Let me just give you one more instance in the Old Testament, then we conclude this part. Exodus 12, 35. Exodus 12:35. I will read this and I will tell you to explain for me. I'm sure you are there, everybody. No. Who remember that scripture? That's Psalm 102, verse 13 or so. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to what? Favor. Yay! The set time. I have used that scripture to do things. Oh God. Yay! The set time. Sad. Just read three verses before. You see what that set time is talking about. Okay, see Exodus 12, 35 and 36. Slowly went to go, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptian jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and the Lord gave the people favor of Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the... You know, we have done a special program on this scripture. Amen, amen. Who can tell me what was called favor there? Feel free, feel free. Anybody? What do you think was called favor there? Talk now, say something. Yeah, can you see? See how they spoiled Egyptian. You say, ah, your labor, the labor that your father suffered, and they did it, they could not get, the Lord will give you today. Amen. Thank God give them favor. See how scripture is profitable for study. God never told you to do copy and paste of the Old Testament. He told you to what? Labor on it, bring it out. So it's your duty to look out for what did they call favor. Amen. So again, when I told you that anytime I bond you to a scripture, what should you do? Unbond yourself. Go to verse 30. Let's read from verse 30. Let's see what is called favor there. Exodus 12, verse 30. One to go, yes. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all the servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Wow. For there was not a house where there was not what? One dead. How is that favor? How is God in this equation at all? Of course, you need to listen to God's word, God's action to get what we are talking about. If you are, if that statement is string to you, that is over 20 series, right? And 20 parts explaining scriptures. Verse 31. And he called for Moses and what? Aaron by night, and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, be gone and bless me also. Verse 33. Want to go? Urgent upon the people that they might send them out of their hand in haste, for they say, we'll be all what? So are we seeing the favor right now? So that was the favor. In fact, the people took their dodge before it was living, imagine. And everything, and verse 35, they borrowed and they got favor. It was six set of Egyptians. So that was terror. It was terror that was called favor. It was terror. Terror. Imagine, because they were already come and be going. Just go. Okay, I'm going. But give me your car. Take! Go! So is that God's favor? Is that the favor? Will you want God to favor somebody to you? Somebody else will be favored. There are times, anything that you call favor, also put yourself in the side of the other side. Assume that you are the person on the other side. Don't say, but they are wicked men. That is God taking vengeance. You have forgotten Matthew 5 again. And Romans 12. Recompense to no matter what? Evil for what? Evil. If any man slap your cheek, turn to him the other one. What does that mean? Don't revenge. Simple. So, is God taking revenge for Israel? Yeah, no. But with all, okay, you know the gold everything they took, what they used to do again in the wilderness? To rebel. Or the children of Israel that you say, that I'm not entered the promised land. Two. To tell you that this is a game of sin and death. It's a game of sin and death. That is playing out here. It's not God that is saying, I will kill Israel, I will kill Egypt for Israel. No, things are playing out here, which we have explained very well. I'm sure if you pass through this strange process, you will understand perfectly. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, don't expect manipulation as an answer of God to your prayers. Don't expect God to manipulate another man for you. Don't do that. The same way you don't want you to be manipulated. Ah, God, in the name of Jesus, this upper is mine. And upper already is planning marriage. And the guy, because you have said, upper is yours. And God says, okay, Tobati is sorrow. No, Lori. Sorry, that is your rascal. So, say, oh, God just turned the head of Okwe. I'm married again. I'm marrying who? No, I've not pointed to him. So if you don't want God to do that to you, you just turn your head like this. Go and marry somebody, one baba that you don't like behind your street. Why will you want God to do that to somebody else for your sake? Do to others what you want them to what? Do to you. Something like that. Praise God. Say manipulation must never be seen as answers to prayer. Or like I love to say, you didn't go to school. You cannot balance account. If they keep money in your hand, it will be lost. So you now went for an interview. And you have prayed in church. Father, do it. Anyhow, just do it. And the man of God, Pastor Ezekiel, just say, take this handkerchief. When you get there, clean your face. The man will forget. Forgotten that Pastor Ezekiel is an international prophet. He has distributed the handkerchief to the same man 10 years ago. As he got to the place, say, ah, go inside and interview, say, I'm coming, sir. And you're saying, hey, you have it. And the interviewer too just brought out his own. Hey, whoa. Amen, amen. Let's stop practicing voodoo in church. Eh? Let's stop this. Stop practicing what you left in your African traditional religion. You know, at times we didn't do it very well there, so we think we can do the rest in church. Speak to your offering. My offering this week, you will send your offering. I send you, go to Aso Rock. Take that contract for me now. Praise God. So, of course, again, write this down. At times, you are in a tight corner. At times, when you are in a tight corner, you can pray to God and expect somebody close to respond to God to give to you. No problem. So, at times, when you are in a tight corner, of course, you can pray to God, trust God, and you expect somebody to respond to God and to give to you. But don't expect manipulation as an answer to God. No. Don't expect. Some of you, the way you are living is that, let me just be going one day. Somebody just forgot money in the taxi. I'm a bit thinking like that before. Don't lie. Just expect to meet money. I divine, thank you for being truthful. Just meet a big money in a taxi and yours, just carry. Christian, if you see dollars in your taxi, what should you do? What should you do? In our old church, you know what they say? They bring it to church. The art is the Lord's and in fullness thereof. Mr. Christie, if anybody brings any money to you and says, this money, I saw it on the road. And because I don't know the owner, I'm bringing it to the Lord. Tell him that the Lord does not accept such money. No, not even the tithes. Sorry, we don't take any tithes here. Tell such that the Lord does not use such money. What should we do with it? I don't. That is already beyond my portfolio. Go to the legal people. I can't tell you what to do with it, but if you go to police, you know where it will end, right? Uh-huh. So I cannot tell you what to do with it. But it's not for us. Simple. Is he willingly? The plan that dropped, he did drop it cheerfully. It may be bountifully, but it's not willingly. It's not cheerfully, right? Praise God. So don't bring it here. Amen, amen. Amen. Don't worry. Today we have Mike. We don't have Mike. So just ask it. So, nothing that comes from God is ever merited, okay? Nothing that comes from God is merited. So don't expect that I sowed a seed. That is why God is blessing. God just blesses you by default. He blesses you by giving you a good relationship, people that helps you, and you are doing fine in life. But don't forget, most importantly, God blesses you with a fruitful heart and a working brain. See, a working brain is a gift from God. Yeah, it's a gift from God. A working brain is a gift from God. So Acts 8, 18 to 22. So all these things that people do in church, these are things that Peter shouted on. Let's read that. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 to 22. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the hands of the apostles, and the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. This is connect, right? You want to connect to the anointing of the man of God. If you want to connect to the grace of his house, when he comes here, yes, just like when, sorry, I have to mention this once in the Mike Mudok, you know, he's paying, he's been spending it, but he came to my town, came to Akure, a town that does not have anything. You know the church that brought him now? Let me leave that church. He came to Akure, and that guy just can say, yeah, say things like, just for 30 minutes, just say, yeah, I was coming in the private jet, it could not land in the place. I had to land in Ghana. This man of God also just gave me his private jet. I flew from that one to, no, as the same private jet, I've mentioned three private jets. You are like this. So I say, because I learned that your road is a bit bad. I have to use a shopper from Lagos. I just landed somewhere close to the airport over there. And actually, in my house right now, I just bought my tenth limo. He just finished all those stories. So I preach in this story. This country, I went there, went there. If you want to connect to this grace, you know, at that instant, what happens? Your brain is empty. You have been baited. You have been posted by the law of money and you have been won. You have agreed. If you want this grace, run out. And in Akure, there is no air company, no. The seed started from 1 million. People came out. 1 million. I trust him. I know he will not go down to some ridiculous preachers. Preachers, they will go from 1 million. After 1 million is expired, they will reduce the anointing. 500K. Okay, right now, if you are a student and you just want to partake in this same thing, God will still bless you too. Just come out. 10K. After 10K, you write down the other. Okay, anything you have, come. It's us then. We are smart. What do you usually wait for? Wait for the last one. The least shall be the what? The first. We quote scripture to counter. I said, don't worry. Don't worry. Wait. No, don't go yet. Wait. Remain one. When it's about the 11th hour miracle, you know, you cannot outsmart. You are wise, we are wise. So, no, we don't do that in church. Let's read Peter's response. Something that you should not be afraid to say. 20, where to go? But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be what? Purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, repent therefore of this thy what? Wickedness, and pray God that it pass. The thoughts of thy heart may be what? Write this down. The wickedness is not in what he's looking for, but how he's looking for what he's looking for. The wickedness is not in what he's looking for, but how he is looking for what he is looking for. So some people also say that how he is looking for what he is looking for. Some people also say that seed are faith boosters. And when you sow a seed, it what? It will boost your faith. Well, maybe, but it will kill a generation. Write that down. Your seed may boost your own faith today, but in response, a whole generation is killed. You finish a generation. So clearly, in the root of all this money gospel is greed and covetousness. In the root of all this money gospel is actually greed and covetousness. Greed, covetousness. That's the root. Later we check more scripture to isolate, and we have to isolate each occurrence and see the peculiarity of each occurrence. But you will discover that there was no account of where the power of God made anyone rich. There's not one account. There is not one account of where the power of God made anybody rich. Anybody. Not where. So that's the reason you come to God, you come to church, you're in the wrong place. We come to God to learn of the will of God. We come to God to serve the Father. We come to God to show ourselves acceptable to Him. There's no account. Not one. You saw, for instance, Isaac inherited his father's prosperity, right? And you also what? He did agriculture, right? He sold. That's clear. Let me not go to that. You saw Jacob, that one. You know you cannot claim prosperity in the life of Jacob, right? Can you? He suffered like there's no tomorrow. Don't you know? You only claim Abraham's blessing. Why don't claim Jacob's blessing? To get wife, how many years? 14 years. 14 years to get those babes that are free today. And you know, are you not free? Sorry. Okay, is it not free? I believe you said that. 14 years. Why don't claim that as prosperity? So what of Joseph too? Somebody say, Joseph, he was a relax, so read the story very well. Somebody said that Joseph was made a minister and everything. And do you read the story? Do you read the story? Is it only that one you saw? Say, no, God can do things to take you short of. God does not do things like that. That means God worked the brother to kill him, the one to kill him, to put him in the dungeon. No. That means also God caused famine. Right? It was famine that eventually made him a prime minister. So at times, I will finish the other part. I plan to explain that a bit more. But at times, when times and seasons are happening, God is yet active to work things out for you. When times and seasons are against you, for instance, if you read the story of Jacob, you will see that he said, I am sending you ahead for the sustenance. Sustenance. So I said, how I wrote this in my notes, I said God's hand was involved in his safety. And of course, God's power was not against it when it played out for him to be a ruler. God's power is not against it. So it's not that God made famine happen. No famine. People will die in some other places. So it's not God that orchestrated all the event just so that Jacob, my son, can be what? Prime minister. No. Just things are happening. And God just made a way. God made a way. So that is not things you go out for and you say yes. And the same way, no. Don't do things like that. Even from unbelievers, I have the same chronicles. Okay. And of course, if you remember, that is the same thing he also did to the fathers. Where Abraham, too, there was famine in the place. God will tell him, Jacob, Isaac, the same way. God to Isaac, say, okay, don't go to this place. Stay in this place. So that means God just directing, right? Direction, right? Yeah, direction. So we study more on that, yeah? What of David? How did David become rich? Bloodshed, right? Yeah, war, sin and death. When they see fighting war as a what? As a will of God. Imagine what Samuel told Saul. The holy Samuel. Imagine what he told Saul. That's why his name was only written like once or twice in the New Testament. So, what of Solomon? How did he become rich? Is that not clear? Huh? Who say wisdom? No, don't say wisdom. Forced labor. When he died, what did Rehoboam say? What did the people tell Rehoboam? They said that lessen our your father's what? Burden. Also through, like you said, oppression. Oppression and alliance with people with false gods. Stuff like that. So, please write this down. If your brain, inheritance, time and chance, hard work, or environment If your brain, your inheritance, time and chance, hard work, environment made a way for you to be rich. God is not against you. God is not against you, but rather, He will teach you to be humble, to give, and not to trust in riches. So don't think I'm saying God is against a rich man. No. Also, if situations didn't make you happy enough. Now, from the person I said environment, right, inheritance, time, chance. Some people are naturally okay because they are born into an emirate family, right? Hello? King of Dubai. The prince. Does he need to praise us? Does he need to fast? You know, some people try write some very ridiculous and they say, yeah, Nigeria, fasting and praying. Yes, there's unemployment. But this country, they don't fast and pray. Yes, they are fine. It's because you are still rating physical things as the answers to prayer. Sadly, the church must say this. The church must be clear on this. Yes, several special programs will stop if we preach this thing everywhere. Because why we now see God to be clear? Remember at the time I told you in Sarah Baby's prayer, one of the prayer series, I said, at times as you are praying, some people are praying, they are praying in tongues, but your mind is against the answer that is coming. As you are praying in tongues, God is trying to work out His will. But where is your mind on? Where is the mind of man on? Money. As you are praying in tongues, you are making the will of God work. But your own mind is working against what you are praying. Sad. Very sad. So I say, we teach you to be humble, to give, and not to trust in uncertain riches. And also, okay, if situations didn't make you to have enough, don't think coming to church is what will blow you. That means if situations now didn't make you to have enough, don't think coming to church is a solution. Don't think that. But nevertheless, you can always trust God at all times with your needs and desires. Nevertheless, you can always trust God at all times with your needs and what? And your desires. Amen, amen. Praise God. Worry today, I will take this. We take the second sermon tomorrow. With all your needs and desires. Philippians 4 verse 5. As for the sake of my, call them my loved ones, having a full day ahead. Philippians 4 verse 5. He said, try and come to church tomorrow. If you can't make it, try and follow us on live stream, because there are some things I've said today that I'll clarify more tomorrow by 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock tomorrow. Philippians 4 verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Say moderation. Say moderation. No, I already tell you that you can't be praying. You should not be praying that God, give me what again? Maybe give me a private jet. I didn't know how to call it. What? He said, let your moderation, at your level. Seriously? Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, let's read verse 6. Yes, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So, in God answering our prayers, He will keep our heart from anxiety. Write that down, please. Sometimes at times we pray to God, oh God, I need this. When God will answer you, the default response of God will first be to keep you from anxiety. Because, do you know what? Several factors on earth, they are responsible for things on earth more than the power of God. So sad. Several factors on earth are responsible for the happening of the things on earth more than the power of God. Do you know how many businesses have suddenly closed down in the last 1 month because of this current outbreak of things about the countries? Several. several. Stock market came. Open the dollar price has changed, right? It has changed. It has gone back, right? Yeah. Thank you, sir. Crude oil, it has very crude. Then it crashed to something. It affected exports. But some countries, once they close their ports, imagine if China closed ports. the good news there will not be, you'll be forced to buy only original things. Seller. You'll be forced to buy original things. Original Zia. How much? Don't go there. Amen, amen. So I'm just saying that. So what of, you know, government policy is very vital. Ha. Government policy. Okay. Even in the Bible, a governor said, every baby from how many years old, 2 years old and below, killed. What could God do? God did something. What could he do? Carry the baby, escape. So, guess what? If there's also any other family that are listening to God at that time, do you think God will not tell them to? He will tell them. It's not peculiar to Jesus, okay? Are you with me, brethren? Yeah, so that means God's will be my guide. Something is happening. It's beyond my control. Escape. See, listen. The heavens are the Lord's. Heaven means things spiritual. But the earth, right? He has given to who? Sons of men. Sons of men. In a place like this right now, we pay a rent of ridiculous in millions. It was not up to Tusha. This same place, in Akura, how much? Are we going to get it? But a man decided that this place is Kukubwa. He said he put a road there. He said this is Abuja. This is FCC. Did he go and decide that this is FCC? No. Some military people came together, decided. And because of that, prices what? Came up. That's how you just got at times. If your house, you are paying 50K before, and it's only plus, and you will be praying that if you don't construct the road to that house, if they just construct the road to your house, what will happen? If 50K will just drop to 120. And now you just say, yes, yes. You know, if you are living in a tenant's house and you saw, just come in a new car, what will that look say? Okay. You just say, 2 months, you are calling a meeting. Say, yes. The story will start. All those things, they are decided by men. And the same way God will not manipulate you, God will not manipulate man. So how does God control all these things? How? Through salvation and teaching. That means if you are a government ruler right now, or you are a landlord, you now come to church. Church will now teach you to what? Don't unnecessarily oppress people now, but relax now. That is only how God controls the affairs of us. Through men that are submissive to Him. So to think that God has a magic button somewhere to just turn, say, America, salvation, pa! Or dollar, go up, pa! Come down, pa! No, it doesn't do things like that. Praise God! So, like I'm concluding, I'm saying, when you pray to God, the default answer of God will be, it will keep your heart from anxiety. It will keep your heart from anxiety. And it will make ways for you as men around you respond to God. Now, something Pastor Nainka made a statement which was very striking. He said, nobody lives by miracles. Miracles are exclusion. Let's write that down. He said, nobody lives every day by miracles. That miracles are exclusion. Now, when you hear a word like that, the default thing will look like you are what? Against the what? Miraculous. That you are against the what? Power of God. That you are against supernatural stuff. No. And see, are you bringing in and out right now? Are you bringing in and out right now? Is that natural or is it miraculous? Huh? It's natural, right? Do you shape your BS? Natural or miraculous? Sitting there right now, is it natural or miraculous? Natural. Writing, natural or miraculous? So, so what he's saying is, miracles, okay, when you wake up in the morning, what do? You bathe, brush, take care of yourself, right? Natural or miraculous? Natural. So, how did I even put it in my notes? You breathe in and out, natural, you eat. That's natural. You see, you walk, right? That's natural. Before you cross, did you just go say, hey, I'm a spirit man? Just see Kubo Express, I'm a spirit man. I'm a spirit. Just floating. Spirit. You know, and that does this way, which we try to practice, we want to walk through words. Just close your eyes and say, who has done those stuff before? You must have such chronicles, oh God. Why not try that on the express? Why not try that on the express? Use the express, so try that. Yeah, I'm a spirit man. I'm busy right now. Just fly. Oh, no, I'm spirit. Now, the default thinking of people is that when you say things like that, you are not in support of God's power, etc. No. And also, the same way when you are entering a car, you look at, I don't know why I just wrote it down, you look at who and who are inside before you sit down, right? Grace, you just see people just smoking, I'm in Christ. I'm a spirit. Just sat down. No, you look right. Natural. You wash your beans before cooking, right? Some people don't wash beans. Some believers don't wash beans before cooking. You must wash it. But you don't know where the beans is coming from. They have used a sniper to kill the ants. So you wash your beans. It's not my duty. It's not my push-up for portfolio. Amen. Of course, also, you don't take in more sugar, right? Please, keep it. You don't take in more sugar, right? Yes. How many Coke per week? Natural or supernatural? Okay, if you want to try it, why not take no doubt rubber coke, right? Drink, if you want to know if you are really supernatural, drink 5 every day. Or rubber. For the next 2 weeks, you will know that you are truly supernatural, right? So that means that's something that you don't do by default, which is natural. You don't put too much sugar and stuff. I don't know how some people use salt to eat garri. I don't get that. Sela. It's just so ridiculous. What else? Yes, you don't. What of you don't eat late in the night, right? Peace, Alpha. It's fattening. Yeah. And same way too, you do honest work, right? You go to work, you work, do honest work. Yeah, you bet. But guys, after you have done all you could, when the natural fails, after you have tried, if you are healthy, because God gave you a good brain, right? Now healthy, do your best, eat well, and still something just have natural fails. What must the believer know? The supernatural is what? Available. Hallelujah. And just you pot, right? Are you with me? You pot. Oh, I know story. I always love those moments. Anytime I look at something, I want to treat you to this thing. It's not good. Okay. Just pot. Amen. You pull up the supernatural. You pull it up. Guess what? Even before Jesus multiplied that fish and bread, what do you see him do? He asked them, go and find them what to feed him. What to feed? The man said, sir, there is no way here. He said, no way. He said, awesome. He said, I'm also a specialist in this area. Praise God. Are you with me? So to sit down in a place and discard the natural order of things. Hello? To sit down, write down this phrase, this sentence. To sit down in a place and discard the natural order of things and claim to live by the supernatural is to mislead the saints. To sit down in a place, discard the natural order of things and claim to live by the supernatural is to mislead the saints. It's another source of idolatry. So it's when you do that, that is when saints will now be having his mind partly filled with money, half on missions, half on evangelism. Why pray in tongues? Are you getting that? Oh God. Reason along what I'm saying. When you do that, that means the attention I ought to give to evangelism, what will I give it to? Miracle money. Have you observed that anybody that canker enters, it will look like he doesn't know what else to say again, apart from miracle money? Have you observed anybody that has been, that they will just focus on it? That is what is called idol worshiping. That's what it's called. And so it's not because, so at times we do some things, not because it's the only way things can be done, but that is the prescribed pattern, apostolic. To say it was to form a ministry based on, I was in a room and money was raining down from heaven, and you too, and you are saying that in church. What do you want the guy in membership training to go and do? To go and pray for souls? No! No! And you know, these things are cashy. You can preach salvation for 2 hours, just talking about money for 5 minutes. What the only thing that guy will remember is what? Money. Hey, pastor say he was in his room. He said he lifted up his hands to heaven. He said as he's praying, he said every 5 minutes, tongues. Every $5 drops. 5 minutes, $5. Guy, how many hours do you pray? Don't stop. Stop. Don't stop. I watched one funny stuff on Facebook a while ago. They actually packed $1 million on the ground like this. And they told three guys to, you know, those people that I share with you. They told three guys, say, put your hand on this $1 million, say it's yours. Say it's mine. Okay. And I said, okay. Say the last person to take his hand off this money will be the owner. You think it's a funny thing? It's not funny. Like, put your hand on this money, day one, they are all there, 24 hours. The hand must not leave. Day two. Until somebody does by mistake or something, just boom. The hand, you think that it's so easy? Try it. Labor. But there's a black guy that was there, that his eye has seen poverty. His eye, he knew where he was coming from. The guy said, no, not me. I die. he got it actually. Everybody was on when he got those of just thing, just tedious, but him got it. So that is how much. Oh, you think it's you? You will just put a gun, a pa, super glue. He said, nothing. Nothing takes me down. You'll be singing. He said, you'll be singing for me. So that is how cashy money is. That's how far people can go. That's why in church, we don't do all those things to spice up your mood. No. Stick with your duty. Don't confuse the minds of saints. Tell them why they are coming to God. Don't give them extra reasons. Don't give them don't divert their focus. Don't. Are you with me? Are you with me? So Philippians 3, or Philippians 4, verse 8. Don't divert their focus. Finally, my brethren, let's see it. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Hope you know it is not just. Just like a man, I've said this a couple of times, that they ask him, how do you get this of miracle money? Since every digit must be printed from CBN. Because if CBN does not have, CBN number, it's what? Fake currency, right? So whether it is God or not, do you want God associated with fake currency? No. Even sanity with France, such a God. You say you give us a word, and you give us a word. We are moderating the word, and you are now dumping money into the backyard of some people who have not worked. So, what? You may say, how do you get this miracle money? Say, well, say when people what? Have accident, right? Say, angels will go and take money in their pockets. Come and give to him. How should you say that as a man of God? Are you a demon? People have accident. Blood is pouring out. You say, yeah, sorry. How much do you have there? Yeah, well, the angels is working with you. Stay simple. What? Why are we in church? To learn to go you to all the world. Preach the gospel. that clear? Going to some of these things is risk. Some risk that is not worth it. Imagine I teach you for only 2 years right now, but I also, but one of the sermons is how to make miracle money. Then I send you away to a place to preach. And in the place, temptation hugs you also. Where will you go to? There's a sermon pastor said that he didn't really emphasize very well. Where is it to? It's not in the news website. Brother Akin, send me that sermon. That one that talks, the real one. Our pastor did it. Same ministry. We don't take such risk. So we don't discuss what works. That's not the point. Guys, angelic exploits. If I ask you yourself, you will tell me of plenty accounts when, from accounts when, everything looks tight. And there was just an intervention. Once that happened, what would you say? Glory to God. Amen, amen. And you focus. Glory to God, we focus. Again, we have seen the Bible that there is no way we have seen that that power of God that made you a millionaire, a billionaire. But we have seen God sustaining man. It is deliberate. It's deliberate. Somebody will ask me that with the fish that Jesus used to pay tax in Matthew 17? Yes, 17 or 19, something like that. That where did he get the fish from? The simple question is that how much? Maybe I don't know how many coin. What about Peter paid the tax? Did the money remain? Huh? So same thing you saw there, that God just met a need. He met a need. So where the money is from, like that, let me not do the analysis on that today, but just so that a need was met. Are you with me? So that's the point. So God, that means we are in a tight corner. What should you do? I can trust God with my needs. But now, instead of focusing on God's will, they're now sitting in a place that I'm expecting miracle money. I'm expecting what? God gave you a fruitful heart and a working brain. Explore and be content. Praise God. Almost closing. So, yeah, let's read again Philippians 4 verse 8. See the things you must meditate upon. So you cannot be sitting in a place and be thinking of how a car dropped from the blue. Just dropped out. Bah! A car from heaven. A car from heaven. Where will you get the spare part from? Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what's true. Say true. Say true. So we don't do assumptions. That is most me. Ask, let me not start pointing to people. I have to ask people. You see, a lot of some of your statements, they are just fabrication and exaggeration. I've worked with them. Exaggeration abounds. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are what? Honest. Whatsoever things are what? Just. Say just. Say just. Yeah. Whatsoever things are pure. Lovely. Good report. If there be any what? Virtue. If there be any praise, what should you do? Think on these things. So to sit in a place to claim angels will bring money, you are teaching saints irresponsibility. Write that down. To sit in a place and claim angels will bring the money, you are teaching saints irresponsibility. And when you just have, and again, when you have supernatural intervention, don't hype it beyond the word. When you have supernatural intervention, don't hype it beyond the word. Just stay simple. Give God the glory and move on. And move on. People now come to church, share their testimony, and you now tell people to tap into that same grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, lastly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Last scripture. So after this, we just take our confession. While we sing, and we pray a bit, and we'll go. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Can we be... okay, let's not be stand up. Yes, I want you to read this one loud and clear. Are you ready, guys? That's 3:17. No, sit down. 3 from verse 6. 1, 2, go. Yes, us. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the what? Say tradition. Say tradition. Say the church have traditions. That's the point. Next. For yourself know how you ought to what? Follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Next verse. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor, travel night and day, travel, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Are you with me? Pastor Johnson should not just come and be lording, taking. No. That's not the pastor. Pastor gives. Amen. Verse 9, yes. Not because we have not power, okay? But towards make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So, to make ourselves an example is more profitable than getting from you. Leaders, to make yourself an example to people is more profitable than what you can get. As well as you are finishing working in this church, you now start asking, okay, nice, awesome. It's time you must work. You must get a good trade. It's something you are doing for a living. Yes, you are focused for the past 1 year on getting it right. Now it's time to also to now focus a bit more on also working. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, please help me. Okay, I'm still writing. Let me wait for you. Finish writing. Okay, verse 10, want to go? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not walk, the elder should he what? Verse 11, slowly. For we hear that there are some which walk among you, disorderly, walking not at all, but are busy bodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be you know what? Weary in well doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, knows that man and have no company with him. That he may be what? But 15 years, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a what? Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you see how strong Paul is? How the apostles are on our conducts? So, why was this pattern selected? This is profitable for doctrine. This pattern will make us focus when we are praying. We are not praying about the progress of the gospel. Our mind is diverted into, gospel, finance, gospel, finance. No, of course, again, we are men that we have learned to trust God with our finances. We have learned to trust God with our lives. We have learned to trust God with everything. Praise God. Say yes for me. Say, I'm persuaded that the one that died for me is currently alive, hearing for me. And let me add this to you, which I will do more in God's name, part 2. Do you know one of your greatest joker is not even money, is God's leading? One of your greatest joker is not even cash, is what? Divine direction. Is the ability to know a business that we will go into, that the one that can take your life, you should know. The one that you will go into that will kill you, you should know. The one that you will go into that they will dupe you, you should know as a believer. Hey, God will just tell you, desist. Desist. We saw this. Is that what's smart part one? That, See this one, right? Part 2. Yeah. That's one of the jokers. And when we are analyzing them, we saw that actually that divine direction is not the guarantee that it will make you very rich, but it will keep you sane in the ministry. Are you with me? So if God says a work right there that you go into and at the end of the day you become a Muslim, will he tell you to go for it? No. Well, there's a priority in life and we have found that one. Hallelujah. Exactly, guys. So that means in my pursuit of earthly things, I am sane. My mind is kept simple. My mind is kept pure. I am godly. I'm a Christian. I'm not the one that say, anything for money. Back then. You saw Abraham's conduct when we discussed in Genesis 14, right? We don't strive. See, people are striving, duping, greed, covetousness. No! Say, guy, let there be no what? Discord between me and you. Go take what you, I think Rose put that as a start of it. Take what you want. No greed, no strive. That's a Christian character. It's getting to the end of the year. People are striving for who to pull down so that they can come up. You're not part of such. Your office, you're not part of such. Your own catcher, what gives you joy is not the extra 10K that will come. It's that men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That men will be filled with the Spirit. So you do all that to just support this your mission in Christ. Amen, amen. So money does not define you. What is man? Man is the crown of God's glory. You are not defined by money. You are not defined by what you have. You are not defined by what you don't have. You are not defined by what you drive. You are not defined by the house you live in. You are defined by the will of God that you have learned to understand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Start praying. God needs my hands. God needs my mind. God needs my heart. He wants me ready for the work before. Start praying. The wish must be done.
He
gave me life. He says
to himself. And the very
Lord he gave
this
is my devotion.
This is my devotion.
God is my heart, yes.
God is my heart. God is my heart. God is my mind. He wants me ready for the work before me.
Which must be done.
They
want to give us life. They want to give us life. Yourself to be sad.
And the very life that he gave me, I live for this cause.
My devotion.
This is my devotion.
Money will not move me.
Money will not move me. They will not blind me. Applause will not sway me. Riches will not faze me. I keep my mind safe.
Keep my mind simple.
Money will not move me.
Fame will not blind me. Applause will not sway me. Riches will not faze me. I keep my mind safe. Keep my mind simple.
I keep my heart simple.
God needs my heart.
God needs my heart.
God needs my heart. God needs my heart. God needs my mind.
He wants me ready. Work before me,
which must be done.
Which must be done.
The one who gave us life, except to be saved by the very life he gave.
I live for this God.
My devotion.
This is my devotion.
Money will not move me.
Money will not move me.
They will not blind me.
Applause will not sway me.
Greatness will not fade me. I keep my mind safe.
I keep my heart simple.
Money will not move me.
They will not blind me.
Applause will not sway me.
Greatness will not fade me.
I keep my mind safe.
I keep my heart safe.
One last time, money will not move me.
Money will not move me.
Fame
will not blind me.
I will not sway me.
Greatness will not faze me.
I keep my mind safe.
My mind simple.
I keep my heart simple. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Let's pray. Let's pray on that for the next 5 minutes.